listener sponsors and Overture Center for the Arts, presenting the Broadway show The Kite Runner, Friday, May 24th through Sunday, May 26th, in Overture's Capitol Theater. Beginning at a kite-flying tournament in Kabul, The Kite Runner spans two decades and two continents, revealing a journey of forgiveness and shows us all that we can be good again. More information and tickets are available at Overture.com.
بالعربي إن إربي كويسة أجوا يساعدوه بدفن أبوه أخذ المجرفة وهرب.
Translation: For those who do not appreciate kindness and do evil to those who just did a good deed to them. Well, so that's going to take a little bit of explanation.
Well, the translation, I think I put in the wrong. I put the description under this translation, and the translation under description. Oh. Silly me. But technically, translated literally, this is a. They came to help him bury his father. You know, the recently died father.
Mm-hmm.
And he stole the shovel and ran off with it.
Nice. Nice.
not so much.
Okay.
How did this happen? I think we switched lines here, kind of, sort of.
Oh, well, sorry.
So I meant
it's bound to happen once in 1,005 episodes
of Selamat. Yes. So they wanted to help him bury his father. He took the shovel and ran away. And ran with it.
Okay. Well,
that's a literal translation, and now we know what it means. It's for those ungrateful, you know who, that you have just done them a favor. You bring tools to help them even do a bigger favor. What do?
They steal your tools and run away.
That's right.
That sounds like something I would do.
You would? Well, depending on the tool.
It depends on the tool.
An expensive piece of machinery.
Really, really nice shovel.
Power shovel.
Yeah, I'm gonna take that home with me.
You know, an excavator.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Selamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab American news, issues, culture, art, music, and occasionally strangely translated proverbs. Thank you so much for joining us this week.
That was Rawan Atalla, translator extraordinaire. My name is Sabi Atiyeh. We promise to not steal your shovels if you bring them to help us dig a hole for any purpose, burying someone or digging out a root.
Unless it's a really nice shovel.
Yes. So don't bring shovels.
We won't steal it from
for it. Us. And I jokingly said that the other day. Somebody, I returned a pen. I don't know. I forgot where I was. I signed. I filled some form, and I left out the door. And I look at the pen in my hand, like, ooh, I forgot the pen. So I return back to the counter, which was further away from the front door. So I it was enough effort expended returning the pen. And I said, ooh, I almost walked off with your pen. And she said, oh, that's okay. It's a cheap one. And I said, yeah, had it been any fancier, I would not have returned. So maybe that echoes the same.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what I'm
kind
saying.
Of going
hey, this
on.
This is a really nice pen.
Nice pen. I think I'm going to steal this one.
It looks great in my pocket.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rowan. Should we do any musical interludes? Oh, by the way, the other day somebody at work. I've been working with Arab speakers, strictly Arab speakers, for a while, and I use a couple of words maybe repeatedly, like hon.
Mm-hmm.
Hon. So
here,
one
here. Well,
there you go.
Yeah,
so one of the coworkers said to me, I've been hearing you say hon for the last few weeks, and I'm just aching to know what hon means.
this is one of the non-Arabic speaking
This is a non-Arab speaker
right.
who asked why I keep saying hon. And I say, oh, it means here. So now there's another Arabic word.
Did they think it was like just a what, a speech impediment or involuntary exclamation?
He couldn't form an opinion based on what I was doing. Because hon, you say here, or you can ask somebody to come here,
yeah,
or you can show them something or give them something.
Yeah.
So here we use it a lot. Not like stoners, they say, here. They're referring to, not referring to their ear, they're saying here.
Right, but
in this sense, we say, hon. Could be somebody walking towards you with an item in their hand and you want to show them where to place it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody asks you for something and you have the keys on you and you'd say hon. So you know, hon I quickly realized that we use hon a lot. Now that somebody says, why do you keep saying hon?
I'm surprised they weren't asking about something like Yanni. Or
Yanni is another filler, yes.
Yella.
Yeah, I think Yanni is definitely overused. Yeah. Meaning.
Well, yeah, it's
meaning.
Meaning, right.
In English, people say to buy some time.
It's exactly analogous to people saying, you know.
Know what I'm saying?
Or like.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
Yep. Exactly.
You feel me?
Exactly that.
Excellent.
So, yeah, you know, I do have a musical interlude.
I heard it earlier. You were doing the... you're setting up the board. So I think we should, instead of just waiting for the last second and possibly not even getting to it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Let's do some musical interluding.
So this is a new release from Egyptian rapper Ziad Zaza.
By the way, for our listeners, often when you're a kid and named Ziad, to a term of endearment, Zaza or Zuzu. So that is a nickname for Ziad. So he's Ziad, nickname Ziad. So like you'd be Richard Dick.
Or Richie Rich.
Richie Rich, sure.
Yeah.
Like it's redundant. But hey, he's dropping stuff.
Okay. Right, yeah. So this is a new track. It is called Paris. This is kind of an interesting one. It is a rap track, but, you know, synth-driven beat. Strong elements of what the reviewer describes as cloud rap, industrial sonic aesthetics, and some just heavy processing on the vocals here, and they describe this as being an exploration of rage rap. It is a little bit different from a lot of the Middle Eastern hip hop that we play, mostly sonically. But yeah, let's give this a spin. This is Paris from Egyptian rapper Ziad Zaza.
بيخافوا منك انو بوليس يا 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 بتقدرش بتعمل عيش منيش قلت بيقلدوني كني بغي فقلدوني كني بغي قلدوني عشان بغي عشان بغي قادوا في زنوب ساعة بعدين اتوب سلحالي جاتو مش بتباكس صفنتو بتتهاكس شحن زي زباتس زوز محتاج صدر كبير عشان يحتوي احزاني كتير سمعتك فلوس كتير عشان اجيب جي كلاس وحاجات كتير برم بتعملش بيخبيه عدو إبليس هبتي ما بتريحش كتير
بغيظ.
Yeah, so you were saying
it's definitely hip-hop-ish.
The phrase means
بغيظ is when somebody who makes you, who annoys, gets under your skin.
And
so
irritant.
He could be referring to himself as, yes, irritant, بغيظ. Not pleasant under your skin, you know. Pain in the, mm-hmm. You know,
we should.
But thank you for picking that. And this is Arabic music that has become global. It is gaining quite a bit of acceptance in European enclaves that have a high density of Egyptians. And I can see how the diaspora Egyptians, younger generation, not so much yours and mine. I should just speak. Maybe I'll just speak in myself.
Slow down. I was going to say, because I really groove on this kind of stuff.
That's fabulous.
I find, you know, like new sonic explorations. And given happenings in the Middle East in the current day, stuff that tends to express some rage, I guess. It hits a lot of the right notes for me.
Yeah. Speaking of notes, we have been taking a break from our food segment, but I want to share with our listeners who may have and may not have a mint patch in their yard. If it's not contained, it's probably all over the place. Mm-hmm. But mint is a very pleasant tasting anti-spasmatic, anti-flatulent, it's very good for you. So when you see Moroccan mint tea that has green tea and mint, we know why now, that it's been used medicinally for many, many years, including the oil or the leaves. And for those who have, like in my case, I cultivate most of it in the summer and I dry it up for winter use. Mm-hmm. You can still use it as a dry herb, turning it into different teas and herbal medicine-esque things. If you have nausea, diarrhea, all kinds of, it helps alleviate some of the common cold flu. I'm not saying this, I'm not a doctor. If you have a colic baby, you heat up some mint just to extract the flavor and the oils from it, and then you cool it down. Mm-hmm. Don't give the kid the tea.
No, hot as
Moroccans like to drink it. But insomnia, if you're having a hard time sleeping, try some mint tea just before you go to sleep. That's it. That's our food segment for the day.
All right. On to the community calendar. We have quite a few items on the community calendar.
Yes.
Some we've introduced previously. We'll recap those briefly. But a new one, and I actually only found out about this last week. So we've been talking about like music benefits, and I've been involved in organizing a handful of those, and which I will mention as well. But I found out there is a show upcoming this coming Thursday at the Burr Oak for Palestinian Relief. It's entitled Concert for Palestinian Relief, Art and Action for Our Human Family. They have five different musical acts. They're asking for a $10 donation at the door. It is a 21 and up show. Doors at 6:30. The show begins at 7:30. Again, that is this upcoming Thursday at the Burr Oak. So highly recommend that you check that one out.
And the Viroqua Music Festival also coming up.
Yes. Well, the Viroqua is coming. That's April 27th, but also during the day.
Same day, yeah. The same day there are a couple
April 27th,
of festivals.
Eid Fest. This is presented by the Islamic Center of Madison and Moms of Little Muslims. This is going to be at McGaw Park. Saturday, April 27th, starting at noon, running until about 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. We'll post both of those to our Facebook page, Salamat Radio.
So they will have halal food, coffee, ice cream, and lots of entertainment for some for adults, a lot for children, henna, face paint, bouncy houses, petting zoo, balloon animals, sports, and more.
Food.
Yes, and food. There is a $10 wristband for children ages 2 to 10 to access all of the children's activities. But yeah, sounds pretty exciting. And then, of course, that same day at 6 p.m., a couple hours north, the Viroqua Music Benefits. This is for emergency relief for Gaza. That is at the Landmark Center in Viroqua. Wednesday, May 1st, May Day, pizza and music benefit at Giant Jones Brewing Company. That is going to be featuring three musical acts, Burger Knutson, Blasphème, and Camilla Wydad. That begins at 4 and runs until 8 p.m. Giant Jones provides the beer, and you can order pizza. I believe it's from Origin Breads, which is in the same business incubator building. The address for that is 913 East Main Street, Suite 9.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely. But wait.
There's more?
Oh, yes, of course there's more. Saturday, May 4th at 6 p.m., there is a virtual book club. And you can find a link for this on the Madison Rafa Sister City Project's Facebook page. Read Palestine is hosting a virtual book club. It is on Musab Abu Taha's Things You May Find Hidden in My Ear. Begins at 6 p.m. and the registration link is in the event posting online. And then a little further out, Wednesday, May 22nd at 7 p.m., another musical relief concert, Music for Gaza Relief. This one is the one featuring, it's a little heavier show. You might want to bring your earplugs, featuring The Takeaways, 20-Minute Mission, and The Moon Boot. That begins at 7 p.m., and that is, again, happening at the Burr Oak, which is at 2262 Winnebago Street here in Madison.
Thank you very much.
And that show is actually sponsored by WORT.
Oh, nice. Further out, further away, the inaugural Arab American Business and Resource Fair is taking place on the 25th of April between 5 to 8 p.m. And this is in the Moraine Valley Community College Center in Illinois, and this is an Arab American Business and Professional Association that has finally got the their act together to, how do you say, make it official, like an official presentation, an official event. And we believe that networking helps all people involved. Raghib Alame, very, very famous singer, is coming to Denver, Colorado. I know some fans from the Midwest would fly to see Raghib Alame. He was back in the 80s and 90s, the heartthrob, the, you know, young up and coming, but he's here now. He arrived. This is one of those rare events where he shows up to, he comes to the U.S. occasionally to do this, but Raghib Alame is a very well recognized Egyptian, Lebanese singer. Eliana in Los Angeles on the 27th also, and this is for Eliana. We played her music in the past, Arab American musician, and does an awesome job blending, bridging the cultural divide, and creates Arabic-influenced music. And the Syrian Chamber of Music series is a celebration of Syrian musical heritage. People don't associate Syria with anything positive recently, because, you know, it says it's a war. The U.S. uses as occupied parts of it where the oil-rich reserves are. Mm-hmm. But musically speaking, they're coming to the Hungarian House here in the U.S. And the symposium is in New York City. They have quite a bit of big names for those who appreciate Arabic music. I think this would definitely be worthy of diving in, not hip-hop.
And when is this happening?
This is the 27th also.
Of April?
April, yep. April 27th. Yeah. Busy weekend, even for us locally. I mean, if you look at what's happening Saturday will be a very busy day event-wise.
One of my chillins is in New York. Maybe I should tell her, go attend that.
There you go. I think she would appreciate it, especially if she doesn't have to drive many, many hours to get to it.
So, in international / national news, something
I want to say from the files of Waha.
Yeah, I never thought
this would
that
ever happen.
I would be able to read a headline like this. This is now. I'll just put it out there. I don't actually expect anything to come out of this. Yeah. However, Al Jazeera reported today the U.S. is set to impose sanctions on an Israeli military unit over abuses. And of course, the prime minister says he will fight any sanctions targeting Israeli military units.
While giving them money from the other one hand is giving them money, the other hand is going tisk, tisk, tisk with the finger.
Yes. But the U.S. news outlet Axios reported yesterday that Washington was planning to impose sanctions on Israel's Netzah Yehuda battalion, which has occupied not in Gaza, but they've operated in the West Bank, though the Israeli military, of course, said it was not aware of any such measures. Israeli media also identified the unit expected to be targeted as Netzah Yehuda, an infantry battalion founded roughly a quarter of a century ago to incorporate ultra-Orthodox Jewish men into the military. On Friday, the U.S. announced a new series of sanctions linked to Israeli settlers in the occupied West Bank in the latest sign of growing U.S. frustration with the policies of Netanyahu, whose coalition government relies on settler parties. Netanyahu said in a statement, "If anyone thinks they can impose sanctions on a unit of the Israeli army, I will fight it with all my strength." Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz said in a statement on Sunday that he spoke with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and asked him to reconsider the matter. Gantz said any such sanctions would be a mistake because they would harm Israel's legitimacy during a time of war. Blinken said on Friday that he made determinations regarding accusations that Israel violated a set of U.S. laws that prohibited providing military assistance to individuals or security force units that commit gross violations of human rights. And he went on, without providing details, to say that his department was conducting investigations under a law that prohibits sending military aid to foreign security units, et cetera, et cetera. And then added, "I think it's fair to say that you'll see results very soon. I've made determinations. You can expect to see them in the days ahead." Mm. So why they can't, you know, call a spade to spade with respect to any of the units operating in Gaza, I don't know. But I never thought I would be reading a headline like this.
But if you recall, in the past, whenever the U.S. attempted to make such moves against Israeli actions in the Middle East to undermine its supremacy there, weaponry or culturally or whatever,
mm-hmm.
The Israelis don't care. Mr. Netanyahu is
No. It's pretty clear. Well, and the other thing is that they try to pin this on the Netanyahu regime, which ignores the fact that the settlements have always grown faster under Labor than they have under Likud. Right, mm-hmm. historically,
mm-hmm.
right? Labor's just mm-hmm. sneakier about it than Likud.
Yeah. Some are more vocal.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it's a rare move by the U.S., but I think it's going to fall on deaf ears.
New York City mm-hmm. is going to have to pay $17.5 million in damages for forcing women to remove hijabs for mugshots.
Yeah, but those women, what is this? What is this hijab thing? Are they looking like they're trying to look like just this, their eyes showing and you can't see their face?
Or
is it just the head garb?
Well, I don't know. But the city has agreed to pay $17.5 million to settle a lawsuit by two Muslim American women who said the police violated their rights after arresting them by forcing them to remove their hijabs before being photographed. The preliminary class action settlement covers men and women required to remove religious attire before being photographed. This was filed, looks like a couple of weeks ago in Manhattan Federal Court, and requires approval by U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres. Payouts mm-hmm. will total about $13.1 million after legal fees and costs are deducted. Although that could increase if enough of the more than 3,600 eligible class members submit claims.
Wow.
So they anticipate each recipient will be paid between $7,800 and $13,100, and it resolves a lawsuit filed originally in 2018 by Jamila Clark and Arwa Aziz, who said they felt shame and trauma when police forced them to remove their hijabs for their mugshots the prior year in Manhattan and Brooklyn, respectively. So mm-hmm. 3,600 eligible class members. That means that the police have done this 3,600 times that we know of.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if it's not the Muslim Americans now, it would have been the African Americans not too long ago for being, you know, practicing their cultural events and things, and such as whatever the black people walked around with, and they felt that, you know, that's a threat to the rest of us, then let's subject them to a different set of rules. Hey, speaking of sets of rules, we've talked about this in the past. We'd seen events where a Muslim American family would lose a child to foster care with a non-Muslim family or non-cousin. Relatives are available to take care of the child, but the court system or the whatever the system in place will take the child from that community and give them to a foster care family that has no knowledge of Islam, no knowledge of the Arab culture, no knowledge of whatever the story may be of that particular case. But Michigan has just started implementing kinship care. And this rule would allow family members to do that. So the feds say this is the first in the country, the first of its kind in the country because of the strong family connections between members of the same family, that they will allow a cousin, a relative, an uncle to have fast-forwarding mechanism to get the license to become a foster care provider in the event that two parents or one of the available parents is not able to take care of one child or has been arrested or whatever. So this is a separate licensing standards for kin caregivers. So this is extended family members like grandparents, aunts, and uncles serving to provide foster care for their nephews and nieces.
Well, you know, and hopefully Michigan will not be the only state to adopt that.
And they say, and the advocates say, this is to keep families together, increase equity in the child welfare system, and allow children to maintain cultural connections to, okay, daddy's in prison,
right?
But I shouldn't have to be removed so far from my community in order to
wait. Placed in a wildly, wildly unfamiliar surroundings.
Yeah, so this was started a while back. This is not a new move because in September, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services finalized this new regulation, making it simpler to license over and approve with a, you know, same standards, obviously, but the kinship foster family is what do you call fast forwarded or
like fast track
sped through the process instead of just expedited. Relinquishing the child to whoever. So that was a big celebration in the Arab American and Muslim American community. Speaking of American Muslim Americans and Arab Americans and Palestinian Americans in particular, again are showing dismay at the U.S.'s vote to veto the widely supported resolution that backed full UN membership for Palestine as a country. The Israelis do not want that to happen. Mr. Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, ran on the campaign that they'll never see a homeland for Palestine as long as I'm alive or as long as I'm in charge.
Right.
And the U.S. Is pretty much in lockstep with the Zionist regime in ensuring that the Palestinians will never see a state. So the United States vetoed. Again, who gave them? Who gave this? You know, I keep asking every time we talk about this.
Why does the U.S. have veto?
Yeah, why does the U.S., Russia, and who else? A handful of dorks have that ability to veto.
That's a holdover from World War II. Yeah, so the vote, the 15-member Security Council, was 12 in favor. The United States opposed and, of course, vetoed. There were two abstentions from the U.K. and Switzerland. U.S. allies, France, Japan, and South Korea supported the resolution. And the strong support Palestinians received really reflects not only the growing number of countries recognizing their statehood, but almost certainly global support for Palestinians facing a humanitarian crisis caused by the occupation slaughter in Gaza,
but Mr.
which is now in its seventh month.
Yep, Mr. Robert Wood vetoed it before him. Nikki Haley, when she was in that position a few years back, she vetoed something similar where any attempt by the global community to recognize the state of Palestine or give them equal footing in their representing, you know, the Palestinian people in the UN that has been shot down.
Right, yes. So he says the veto, quote, does not reflect opposition to Palestinian statehood,
what?
But instead is an acknowledgement that it will only come from direct negotiations between the parties, which, of course, you know, we, the Palestinians, did not get that benefit in 1948, did we?
No, it was pretty unilateral at the time.
No.
What time is it?
We are out of time.
Again?
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, art, music, herbs, not food, this week. But hopefully we will get back to that at some point.
Medicinal herbs.
In the meantime, we will bid you farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Assalamu alaikum.
In English, peace be upon you. مش بتباكس صفن انتو بتتهاكس شحن زي زباتس دوز محتاج صدر كبير شان يحتوي احزان كتير سمعتك فلوس كتير شان اجيب جي كلاس وحاجات كتير برون بتعملش بيخبيه عدو ابليس ما بتريحش كتير بيخافوا من الجيم بيبليس بيخافوا من الكينو بوليس بتقدرش بتمن عيش النيش قلت بيقلدونا كني بغي فقلدوني كني بغي. Are you excited to get out and see some great live music while wiggling your toes in the grass? Do you yearn for delicious food and a cornucopia of local brews? Craving the whimsy of browsing local crafts or creating your own artwork? Are you ready to usher in the summer music festival season? Then get to Warner Park on Sunday, May 19th for Wartstock, presented by WORT and Union Cab of Madison. Check out this great lineup. At noon, Son del Atlantico ignites the day with hot Afro-Colombian flair. At 1:20, Strings to Rome brings lively bluegrass and folk. At 2:40, Blue Stem Jazz unleashes undisclosed Sims from Chicago. At 4 is Roscoe Foster and the Rascal Theory, ready to funk things up with their mix of rock, blues, funk, and soul.